One of the advocates for war in Iraq was Kenneth Pollack. He's a former CIA analyst. He wrote an influential book called The Threatening Storm, The Case for Invading Iraq, and we've relied on his analysis here at NPR many times. Pollack argued that Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction posed a serious threat. Some of the U.S. intelligence community is now questioning that conclusion, since U.S. forces haven't found any weapons so far. And Kenneth Pollack joins us again to talk about what we know now. Ken, welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you you agreeing to talk to us, especially since I do want to put you on the spot a little bit. I want to know if the news from Iraq, or maybe the lack of news from Iraq about weapons of mass destruction, has changed your opinion about anything.
Yes and no. Probably not as much as I think you'd suspect. And first, what you may remember from my book was that I'd never thought that Iraq posed an imminent threat to the United States.
That's right.
I felt that it was a much more distant threat. And the real threat that I felt from Iraq's weapons of mass destruction program was the potential for Iraq to eventually develop nuclear weapons. Now, I did believe that the Iraqis probably had some weaponized agents in the country somewhere, that they probably did have some ballistic missiles.
U.S. officials did suggest that Iraqi military units were ready to use chemical or biological weapons, that chemical weapons had been distributed to frontline troops and that sort of thing. That does seem to have turned out not to be true, at least.
Right. That's absolutely the case. And you know, here's one where I think that my guess, my expectation was off base.
On another point, which is the most crucial point to you about nuclear weapons, you told us last November when you came on this program that you believe there was a consensus among American, British, French, German, and Israeli intelligence that Saddam Hussein had everything he needed to develop nuclear weapons. I suppose some people would question now whether all of the components for a nuclear weapon could really be hidden that well, whether they could have disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, you're now getting beyond my area of expertise, Stephen. I try very hard not to talk about things I don't know. I mean, the point that I made on your show was a true point. That was the consensus of opinion among the intelligence community. It was hearing things like that that brought me to the conclusion that, boy, if this is the case, we've got to do something about this guy. I think that, that is exactly the kind of thing that we're going to need to go back and look hard at the evidence that we were getting. And those various intelligence services who were making those claims, I think, are going to need to go back and re-examine the methods they used. But as I said, that was not me making that claim. That was me parroting the claims of so-called experts.
I don't know if there ever was a complete consensus. There certainly isn't now. It seems that U.S. intelligence agencies are going back now and questioning what conclusions were drawn and exactly who drew them and what information they used.
First, there was the consensus of not only the U.S. intelligence community, but as I said, of other Western intelligence communities, that the Iraqis did have weapons of mass destruction, that they were pursuing a nuclear weapon, and that at some point down the road there would be a much greater Iraqi WMD threat than it existed at the time, or was believed to exist at the time. That's one issue, and that was what I was reflecting in my own analysis and in my book. The second set of issues is this claim that the Bush administration, in its fervor to invade Iraq, in its absolute determination to attack Iraq and attack Iraq this year, misused intelligence. And that's, as I said, it's a somewhat different issue. At the moment, all we have are a lot of stories in the press. Seymour Hersh wrote a very influential piece in The New Yorker that laid out a number of these claims. But as of yet, I don't think that that's really been substantiated.
Well, now, one thing that is in that story that you mentioned that has been widely reported is that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was unhappy with the intelligence that he was getting from the CIA at the time. It wasn't strong enough. It didn't make Saddam Hussein look bad enough. It wasn't definite enough. And so he set up his own intelligence unit with a number of analysts who believed that it was appropriate to just assume that Saddam Hussein had this stuff because he was a very bad man and proceed from that.
Right. Well, certainly there have been lots of stories to that extent, and I will say that I have heard that from friends of mine who are continuing to work inside the administration, inside the intelligence community, that there was this independent intelligence shop, and that they were, let's just say, rather aggressive in their use of intelligence. Many of the stories that are being reported are that you had bad sources reporting that the Iraqis were linked to al-Qaeda. People who either didn't know what they were talking about, had no access to the information, or were telling the United States what it was that they knew the Bush administration wanted to hear, and that this intelligence shop that Secretary Rumsfeld had set up was seizing on these reports and saying, here is the proof that Iraq is linked to al-Qaeda, while other more seasoned intelligence analysts were looking at it with a much more skeptical eye, saying it's a bad source, it's a source without access, it's a source who's trying to tell us what we want to hear, we can't go with this.
Kenneth Pollack is a former U.S. intelligence analyst. He was on the staff of the National Security Council during the Clinton administration and is the author of The Threatening Storm. Mr. Pollack, thanks very much, as always.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.